This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And we're starting off with a story that is really about, well, our first meal of the day. We've been told since childhood that breakfast is apparently the most important meal of all.
Post Super Sugar Crisp cereal, part of a balanced breakfast.
Because Cocoa Puffs make breakfast taste like chocolate.
Cocoa Puffs are part of this complete breakfast!
A tummy-tempting part of this nutritious breakfast.
Yeah, Cheerios is a powerful part of this balanced breakfast.
New surface.
But you know, the kinds of things we eat for breakfast are probably some of the most sugar-laden, nutritious-free meals that we're likely to have. And this is a perennial problem when it comes to providing healthy meals for kids in schools.
So, Education Minister Mazli Malik has said today that they'll be looking into providing free nutritious breakfasts for children from families in the B40 group. Now, the minister is currently in Japan, accompanying Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, and he said he came up with this breakfast scheme following a visit to the Itabashi Daiichi Elementary School in Tokyo.
Yeah, and if they follow through, this will solve a huge issue that kids in schools are facing today. We've spoken about this before on the station. Our guest, Anthea Mulakala, the founder of Makanla, an organization that's working with schools to provide healthier meal options in school canteens, said that it's not just unhealthy breakfast foods that are the problem. The issue, she says, is that kids don't eat breakfast at all.
1 in 4 children does not eat breakfast. This we know. This is reported by the Ministry of Health and Education. So often you have children arriving at school without having eaten, and they don't. Their first meal is actually at 10 o'clock. So they don't. They have low energy in the morning, and then if they eat something that's very high in sugar or converts quickly to sugar, like white rice, as the first thing and the only thing that they eat, they're still going to be have kind of a peak and a trough during the day. And nutrition really does affect learning. And so this is why it's really important if the first thing that children do eat in the day at 10 o'clock in the morning should be something healthy.
That was Anthea Mulakala, founder of Makanla, talking about one of the issues that come with ensuring kids eat healthy meals in school. So going back to Mazli and his visit to Japan, he said in a statement that the 3-hour visit to that particular school gave him insight into the learning method to produce a generation with good character. So now there are plans also to inculcate the culture of cleanliness and discipline among students from kindergarten.
Yeah, so Mazli also met with the Japanese Minister of Education, Culture, Science and Technology, Masahiko Shibayama in Tokyo. He said their discussion touched on the setting up of branch campuses in Malaysia by 3 Japanese learning institutions. He said if everything went according to plan, operations would begin next year.
So do you eat breakfast? Is it a very important meal to you?
For me, as someone with gastric problems, it is very important. But I can also see why this is important. You know, I remember back in primary school, not too long ago, there was this kid in school who was tearing off pages from his notebook and eating it. And I asked him, why are you eating your book? And he said, it's tasty. I think he came from a very poor family, very unfortunately.
Right.
And to just see something like that and have it hit me a few years later that, oh, that's why he was eating paper in schools.
Mm. Yeah. And of course, that messes with your concentration and your ability to just kind of sit in class and absorb knowledge, right, and participate. I think overall, it's a good thing. I mean, I recognize my privilege in being able to say that breakfast is not an important meal for me, but I'm also not concerned about where my next meal is coming from. So I think it's just one of those things where overall, it's a good thing to have, which kind of raises the question, right? What Japanese values would you like to see Malaysia adopt? We'd love to hear from you. 7732900 is the number to call. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at PFM Radio. Especially salient now, I think, since our Prime Minister was, our former Prime Minister, who also used to say, look east, right? So there are all these Japanese values, I think, that we've always thought would kind of be nice to make their way over. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you'd like to see. Moving on, Collins Dictionary has announced 2018's Word of the Year, and it is
Single use. Single use is a term referring to products often made of plastic. They are made to be used once and thrown away. Colin said images such as those seen in the BBC's Blue Planet 2, in which albatrosses unwittingly feed their chicks plastic, had contributed to the increased usage of the term single use. It also pointed to increased public awareness of the problems that single use products bring.
So if we look abroad, the European Parliament recently backed a ban on single use plastics, such as straws, cotton swabs, disposable plates, bottles, cutlery. It's expected to come into effect in 2021, and the UK is also planning to introduce a tax on plastic packaging.
And as are we here in Malaysia, Budget 2019 revealed that a 15 cent plastic tax would be placed on the use of plastic bags. We're also working towards a nationwide ban on single-use plastic bags and plastic straws. So by Collins Dictionary standards, we're very on trend.
So the word single-use actually edged out Me Too and whitewash to top the list of 10 new and notable words that reflect an ever-evolving culture and the preoccupations of those who use it. The wider 10 words of the year included ones inspired by Brexit, environmental concerns, and the 2018 World Cup.
Another environment-related word on the list was plogging. It's a Scandinavian fitness craze that combines jogging with picking up litter.
It all started when I was moving back from Åre to Stockholm. I've been living here for 20 years, and I noticed it was so much garbage. No one was picking it up. So I had to do a change. Now plogging is spreading all around the world. We're talking about a new fitness and environment trend for 2018.
Right?
Yeah. So another word that's centered around the themes of sustainability is vegan. Vegan, a person who refrains from using any animal products, has become an increasingly mainstream lifestyle choice in recent years, and so has earned a place on the list.
So there are other things. Me Too, for example, makes the top 10. Brexit was a 2016 word of the year. That's led to other phrases coming up within this list. There's whitewash, casting a white actor as an ethnic minority character. There's gaslight. There's VAR from the World Cup.
Yeah.
So in many ways, I think this list is just a reflection of the preoccupations of the year. Now, earlier we asked you to call us, let us know what you would like to see coming our way from Japanese culture, along with the announcement that we would be giving breakfast, potentially, hopefully.
Free breakfast in schools.
Free breakfast in schools to children coming from the B40 group. So let's see what people have to say. We've got Joe on the line. Good evening, Joe. What are your thoughts?
Hey, first of all, I think it shouldn't be targeted to just kids in the B40 category. The reason is because, like, if you study the concept of how everything is done in Japanese schools, everyone is supposed to be equal. There is no discrimination. So, I mean, I know it sounds stupid because some people might need more help than others, but you also don't want the kids to be isolated because they're receiving any sort of aid.
Yep.
On top of that, every single child has to be involved in preparing the food and cleaning, maintenance of the school. That's why they keep their schools relatively with low overheads. So, I mean, if they're going to implement something from Japanese schools, they better look at the whole model and implement the whole system. Because I think it's a very comprehensive system that they have in the schools to build the independence of a child.
Yeah, fair enough. Yes, it does. Joe, thanks for calling. I agree. I think it's one of... And I do think it would be quite an isolating thing if you're only handing out food to certain people, and there might also be more cause for, I suppose, stigma attached to that.
That's true, and I think if you know, the government wants to make it mandatory for kids to go to schools, maybe consider paying for everything that requires them to go to schools, you know, their food, their textbooks, your school utensils, whatever that they need, right?
I suppose it's quite a catchy thing, right? You go to a school, you see free breakfasts, and you think, yes, that's what I want to get. but it is worth, as Joe said, looking at the entire system, right?
Yeah.
Because you're going to want to take more things, I think, than just that one. Uncle Lawrence is on the line now. Let's see what he has to say. Good evening. What are your thoughts?
Yes, good evening. I was listening to your radio.
Mm-hmm.
I have one idea that when I was young, I'm already past 70 now, we have this American exchange program, remember?
Yes.
So you follow I suggest they follow the style to learn the values of the Japanese, which I'm very impressed with. Tun is very interesting. Of course, they put our system there to try to follow Blue East. So what we should do is get our students Well, up to you, up to the selectors. They want 12 to 20 or 15 to 20. Select a few of them in groups. Just please give them all the fairness in Malay, Chinese, Indian, Karazan. Give all these people. No, not one particularly. That's not fair. Huh? I don't like that. So even if I suggest, I think you have to give fairness to everybody, all the races. Let them go and learn the values of the Japanese. Then they come back, they say, wow, so good. I heard from friends that when they were in school, they used to do a lot of moral things, sweep the floor and all these things, clean from one to another thing. They don't learn much. That is the value there when they see the country so clean.
Lawrence, is there a specific value that you want kids to take away from Japan then? A top priority, perhaps?
No, respect the parents and, be civic conscious and all that. And respect the opposite sex and all that. What do you all have in the radio sometimes? If every child, somebody said that if every child is brought up and respect the opposite sex, you won't have all this rape and all this nonsense. Huh?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Lawrence, thanks for calling. So I think, an exchange program, that's also another way of going about things. We did have a Japanese exchange student staying with us for a little while when I was younger.
Right.
And that was pretty interesting. There was a lot of hand gestures for conversations. It was a complicated time. Anyway, keep your calls coming. Keep your messages coming. Let us know what you would like to see coming our way from Japanese culture. What values would you like to see us take on? Toh says, inculcate cleanliness, being systematic and disciplined, as well as courtesy and politeness. All good things. However, Uni Ng says that, can we just make sure we don't import the idolization of corporations and overwork? The first caller mentioned independence. Well, part of that is not throwing our entire lot in with authority and workplaces. And I absolutely agree with that. I do think we were just talking about it on an education level, although I suppose culturally, that's also where it starts.
To be fair, I think I welcome the efficiency of Japanese companies, but probably not the overworking. I'm not sure if we can have both efficiency and not overworking, the culture of overworking there. I think it's quite bad.
Yes, I think there was a recent statistic that suggested that rates of child suicide are rising again in Japan. Mm. And so, yes, I do think it's very important to say that we're not asking to import everything, which is why the question is, what would you like to see? You know, it's not a wholesale thing. Let us know. 018-789-8899 is the number to WhatsApp. And again, you can call 7733-2900. Our next story is all about unemployment.
Now, I used to worry and I used to despair because I couldn't find a good job anywhere. Looking here, looking there, looking almost everywhere. No luck, no news. I had a bad case of the unemployment blues. Jam and me couldn't find a job. Me look everywhere, go a job center. I wasted my bus fare.
So as that song alluded to, unemployment is a problem. Now, while a university education is typically regarded as a means to secure a better future, a report has shown, at least locally, that Bumiputra graduates are finding it difficult to get a job. In fact, they have a higher unemployment rate than their peers of the same ethnicity who do not have a tertiary education.
This is based on the Ministry of Finance's Economic Outlook 2019 report, which examined the unemployment rate among Malaysians of different education levels based on the Department of Statistics 2017 figures. The report noted that Bumiputras with tertiary education recorded the highest unemployment rate in 2017 at 4.6%, higher than Bumiputras who only had secondary schooling, 4%, primary education, 1.9%, while Bumiputras with no formal schooling recorded the lowest unemployment rate at 1.5%.
In comparison, those without formal schooling recorded the highest unemployment rate within the ethnic Chinese community and ethnic Indian communities. For both of those ethnic groups, those who graduated from universities had the second highest unemployment rate, and those categorized as others, that thing that we really do need to get rid of,
that
category,
nine.
Yes, had the highest unemployment rate among those with secondary education, while those with tertiary education came in second.
The Economic Report 2019 explained that this scenario, which appears to buck conventional wisdom, is due to a mismatch between industrial needs and graduate skills. Adding to that, a survey conducted by the World Bank and Talent Corp in 2014 found that 90% of companies believe that university graduates should have more industrial training by the time they graduate. But the study also indicates that that less than 10% of companies has had experience in developing curricula or programs with universities.
So it's becoming a bit of a chicken and egg situation, yeah. I think. The government is working on this, though, by encouraging companies to help university graduates improve their skills while on the job. Around 540 companies, including Maybank, CIMB, Axiata, Cellcom, Huawei, Intel, are working closely with the MOE to improve graduate employability.
The report also noted that many job vacancies were for low or semi-skilled work, which was less preferable and not suitable for fresh graduates. The bulk of the 1.4 million vacancies available in 2017 were jobs that required only primary education, while 8.4% were for semi-skilled jobs. In comparison, 4.7% of job vacancies in 2017 were skilled jobs requiring tertiary education.
So there is a big problem there in terms of, I suppose, matching graduates to the kinds of jobs that they would technically be qualified for. The Economic Outlook 2019 said a lack of work experience also contributed to youths being unemployed. When we spoke to Pei Jung Yong, a senior analyst with Penang Institute, about youth unemployment, she said that experience was a quality that most employers want.
But no, when it comes to Malaysia's education system, in a sense, the youth are actually equipped with theoretical skills. So theoretically, they know how to work around things. They know the application of the theories. But when it comes to the practical sense, a lot of them are not able to compete with more experienced workers. So in that sense, when you think about it, the structure of the labour market is such that companies actually prefer to hire people who are experienced. So when a youth is inexperienced, then they're not able to compete with people who are more experienced as well.
The report concluded that the government will pursue interventions such as identifying skills required by companies and mainstreaming technical and vocational education and training. That's TVET.
So unemployment continues to be a conversation that we're having, something that comes up time and time again. And I suppose the question that arose from this, to me anyway, was do education programs need to include more work experience? I think a number of them have a little bit. Did you have to do it?
Yes, I had to. And what I found to be problematic was that these companies, they want people with experience, but at the same time, some companies who only want interns with experience. It's weird, and they don't pay their interns. So you also limit, you also put a limit on who can become an intern and who then can get the experience to get the job. So yeah, companies really have to do something about this.
Let us know what you think. I mean, what else can be done to make our fresh graduates more employable? You know, is it about work experience? Talk to us about your stories looking for a job. 7733-2900 is the number to call. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We did also have messages still talking about what you'd like to see coming over our way in terms of cultural values from Japan, at least for our kids in particular. Emily says, Japanese children are encouraged to serve their meals to one another as well as clean up after. I think this is great as it teaches these children the importance of helping one another and valuing the food that they eat. Another listener, Hafiz, basically says, just a very short and sweet answer, Japan's preparedness for natural disaster. Ritza says, leaders who are accountable and responsible for their actions. So there are a number of things that we'd like to see. Also, as mentioned earlier, do keep your thoughts coming about the job hunt. Let us know your experiences and your stories. Call us at 7733-2900. In the meantime, we've got a song to take us to the news. Heart of Gold by Johnny Cash, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.